Scripture reading this morning is found in the book of Romans. Read Romans chapter 1. The entire chapter. Romans chapter 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the holy scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father, in the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So, as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because that, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. That far we read in God's fully inspired word. May God bless that word to our hearts. Before we turn to the catechism, we read from Scripture, Romans 1, verses 9 and 10. The apostle makes a reference to the will of God in his prayer as he desires to make a trip to Rome, but also submits himself to the will of God. Romans 1, verse 9 and 10, "For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you." It's in connection with that passage and other passages of Scripture that we look at the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 49, the explanation of the third petition. We'll read that Lord's Day. Question and answer 124. Which is the third petition? "Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." That is, grant that we and all men may renounce our own will and without murmuring obey thy will, which is only good, so that everyone may attend to and perform the duties of his station and calling as willingly and faithfully as the angels do in heaven. Beloved congregation in our Lord Jesus Christ, as we have looked at the model prayer that Jesus has given to us, in the past weeks, we have seen that as regards our life of thankfulness, as it is expressed in our prayers, also in that regard, we have only a small beginning. And then because of that old man of sin that yet remains, then our prayers often are not an expression of gratitude, but in fact an expression of selfishness. Not a way in which we seek God's will for our lives, but a way in which we seek our own will. How often do our prayers become that, seeking our own will? And then when we see, beloved, that we fall far short in our prayers, like the disciples, we pray, "Teach us teach us to pray.
Though we pray, hallowed be thy name in the first petition, nevertheless, the desire for the glory of God's name is still weak. Though we pray, thy kingdom come in the second petition, how often do we seek the things here below before we seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness? Teach us to pray. Like the first two petitions, it's not hard for us to say in the third petition, it's not hard for us to say the words, "Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." We can say the words, but do we truly desire the things that we seek for, that we are praying for? Submitting to God's will, beloved, might mean suffering for us. It might mean trials and afflictions. It might mean great upheaval. Do we really desire God's will to be done in our lives? It's difficult to pray that. Indeed, impossible in ourselves. In heaven, the angels and the glorified saints have a perfect delight in God's will. But here on earth, beloved, the devil, the world, our old sinful flesh, they all conspire against us and would have us reject God's will. Our old man would have us reject God's will. And yet, God has also given us a new man. And according to that new man, we pray, "Thy will be done." Let's consider that request then. Thy will be done under that theme. Let's note in the first place God's perfect will. Secondly, our relation to it. And lastly, the desired submission to that will. Thy will be done. The third petition, "Thy will be done," beloved, teaches us the critical importance of God's will. The subject of this petition is not my will. It's not our own will. The subject of this petition is God's will. By nature, we seek our own will. But that's not this petition. When God gives us the Spirit of adoption, when God makes us His children in Jesus Christ, He works in us that we would pray that His will be done. What is God's will? Well, when we talk about the will in general, we mean that conscious, that intellectual act of desiring and deciding. God has a will. He has purposes. He has desires. He decides certain things. It's not just an impersonal force that causes the universe to assemble into what it is today. God is not the God of the theistic evolutionist. An impersonal force doesn't have a will. God has a will. And He has a purpose according to which He desires to accomplish certain goals. Indeed, He has one goal. And that one goal centers in Jesus Christ. All things in the creation were made for Christ, as they were made by Christ.
Christ is the purpose
behind God's will.
He aims. God aims in the whole creation. He desires that glory would be given to Himself. It is due unto Him. He is worthy of that glory. God wills in the whole of creation. That's His purpose in bringing the creation to His into being. His purpose is that His kingdom would come. He has a purpose. And that means, beloved, as regards God's purpose, when we see that that purpose centers in Jesus Christ, then we see also that that purpose touches the church. That purpose of God touches you and it touches me. You can't separate Christ from His church. And now that means we're not just talking about some abstract truth, some truth out there that doesn't have any application to yourself and myself. But God's will touches your life and touches my life in all of the different circumstances that we face. In every conceivable aspect of our life, God's will is there. It touches us. When we talk about God's will, beloved, we need to distinguish two different aspects. We don't separate God's will, but we distinguish two aspects of God's will. God's will of decree and His will of command. His will of decree concerns that which God does as He seeks His glory. He Himself decrees and He does that which brings Him glory. And His will of command concerns that which He would have us do in order to seek His glory. God has a purpose. God's will of decree is not merely, though, a desire like our wills so often are. We desire things. We purpose things. But God's will of decree is not merely a desire. Think about our desires. We want something to happen. We want something to be a certain way. So we set ourselves to accomplish that goal. But it doesn't always turn out the way we would have things turn out. We desire a particular career, but things might get in the way of that career. You might desire to go to some beautiful destination. Then the weather affects our plans, so we cannot accomplish what we desire to accomplish. We desire to be healthy, but there are things that get in the way. We're not able to accomplish that purpose. And the point, beloved, is that our wills can be hindered in a multitude of ways. But not God's will. God has a plan, and He is executing that plan in all of history. And so whether we talk about God's will to create the heavens and the earth, His will to allow and even decree that Adam and Eve would fall, His will to send a flood, His will to call Israel out of Egypt, His will to send His only begotten Son into the world, to suffer
the torments that we deserved on the cross. No matter what we examine, what circumstance in all of history, from the smallest to the greatest, God is causing everything to serve His will. History is not just a collection of things that have happened, but history is His story that He has written, as it were, in His decrees. God directs all these things according to His will of decree. Wicked rulers conspired against Jesus to put Him to death. But that very thing was part of God's will of decree. Jesus prayed in the garden, "Not my will, but thine be done." He recognized that what was happening to Him was part of God's will of decree. Even the sin then of crucifying Jesus is expressed in Scripture as part of God's decree. Acts 4, verse 27 and verse 28 as well. "For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together." There was the sinfulness of those who gathered together against Jesus, and yet this was God's decree. Listen to the next verse. "For to do," they were gathered together, "for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done." God decreed it. And so too with the Apostle Paul. We read that prayer in Romans chapter 1, he tells the Roman saints that without ceasing he made mention of them in his prayers. And what was his request? At least one of his requests? That God would grant to him that he would have a prosperous journey. He wanted to serve God in Rome. He wanted to bring glory to God, the apostle did, by working in and among the Roman saints. And yet he knew that his plans were subject to God's will. He knew that whether or not he would be able to make that trip to Rome was subject to the will of God. So he says, "If by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you." He purposed to do something that was good and profitable and was for the kingdom of God and for the glory of God. And yet even then he recognized that his plans and desires were subject to God's will of decree. And so essentially he says, "I desire to have a prosperous journey, but I submit myself to the will of God." When the Apostle Paul, in other circumstances, experienced that thorn in the flesh, he prayed to God, expressing his own desire that God would remove that thorn in the flesh. But he came to see. God revealed it to him. It was not according to God's will God's will of decree was not that that thorn would be removed, but that it would stay. He submitted himself to God's will of decree. Beloved, when suffering comes into your life and my life, that's part of God's will of decree. 1 Peter 4:19, wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. You see in that one of the purposes of God in bringing those difficult circumstances upon us. When we suffer according to the will of God, God would have us in that suffering turn to Him. To commit the keeping of our souls to Him as unto a faithful Creator. No matter how big the circumstance, or no matter how small the circumstance that comes into our lives, when a loved one passes away into glory, when an infant is conceived or born, when we are healthy or when we are ill, when we have plenty or when we have poverty, when we are out of work or when we are given work, when we remain single or whether we marry, God, beloved, God is working all of those things according to His will of decree. His will touches us. That's the first aspect of God's will. The second aspect is His will of command. God's will of command includes those things simply that He tells us to do, as well as those things that He tells us to leave undone, or rather that He forbids us. So we find, for example, Ephesians 6:5. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and singleness of your heart, as unto Christ, not with eye service, as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. God gives us the will of His command. And our sinful natures reject God's will of command. By nature, we don't want to do what God commands us to do. By nature, we don't want to walk in His ways. We want to walk in our own ways. By nature, we might even make a good outward show. But that still doesn't mean that we've kept His commands from the heart. God commands servants to be obedient to your masters. That is, employees today, be obedient to your employers. Not just when they're watching. Not with eye service, serving only when they have their eyes upon us. But always. Why? Because we serve the Lord Jesus Christ. As unto Christ, who has bought us with His precious blood. This is the will of God's command for the worker in the workplace. And we could go on through Scripture and show God's will for each of us
in our various stations and calling, parents and children in the home, husbands and wives, citizens of the state. God speaks to us. He gives to us His will of command. He calls us to live a certain way in order to bring glory to Him. So there are two aspects of the will of God, His will of decree and His will of command. Now the question is, for which of those are we praying? When we pray, Thy will be done, are we praying that God would do His will of decree? Or are we praying that His will of command would be done? Many would say that the third petition has only to do with God's will of command. And the argument goes like this. We can't do anything about the will of God's decree anyway. God has decreed it. He is accomplishing it. That will is removed from us. So why pray that it would be done? And then if that's true, that God's will refers only to that, then the argument would go this way. Why, if our prayer, Thy will be done, has nothing to do with God's will of decree, well, then the only other option is His will of command. The Catechism, beloved, emphasizes God's will of command. That's true. Grant, the answer says, grant that we and all men may renounce our own will and without murmuring obey Thy will. In fact, if we stop there, we haven't said enough. Because the Catechism also goes on to explain that God would have each one of us attend to and perform the duties of his station and calling. Now, attending to and performing the duties has to do with God's will of command, but the idea of station and calling has very much to do with God's will of decree. Because God, by His sovereign decree, has ordained different stations and callings for us. For each one of us, God has ordained a particular station. Every one of us, beloved, has a different function in the body of Christ. It brings us all together in this local manifestation of the body of Christ, and He puts each one of us in this congregation for a particular reason. That's part of our station. Fathers and husbands, God has given to you a particular station as spiritual leaders in your homes, sustainers of your families, as God gives you gainful employment. Wives and mothers, God gives to you a particular station in the home as helpers of your husbands, keepers at home. Children, God gives to you a station Under the authority of your parents and teachers, He puts you in that particular place. Employees, God gives to you a station in the workplace under the authority of your employers. Wherever God providentially places you, beloved, that's your station. And in each of those stations, God gives a particular calling. Whatever station He assigns, He also calls us in that station to carry out His orders. Husbands, love your wives. Provide for your families. Wives, submit to your husbands. Children, obey your parents. Parents, do not provoke your children to wrath. Servants, obey your masters. Masters, forbear threatening. And so on. Station and calling, beloved, go together. God's will of decree and His will of command, therefore, cannot be separated. We distinguish them, but we do not separate them. In the place where His decree brings us, where His decree places us, is the place where His commands are given to us. So the petition, "Thy will be done," involves our relation to both aspects of God's will. When Jesus prayed, "Not my will, but thine be done," He wasn't merely talking about God's will of command and obeying that command, although that was included. He was also talking about God's will of decree. It was Christ's meat. It was His food to do the will of His Father. That's why He took upon Himself human flesh. And doing the will of His Father required that He also submit to God's will of decree. Even though that decree meant horrible suffering, He submitted to His Father's will. Beloved, when you and I pray, "Thy will be done," we pray, "God, grant me that I would submit myself to Thy will in every way." Grant that I would be content with my circumstances that Thou hast brought into my life. And grant also that I would respond to those circumstances in obedience to Thee. Grant that I would have the grace to trust Thee, that Thy will is for my good. And grant that I would have the grace to continue to walk in the path of obedience, and the grace to turn away from the path of disobedience. Grant that, no matter what it costs. You can't separate God's will of decree and His will of command. So a person who, without work, phrase, Lord, thy will be done, with regard to finding a job. If a job opened up for that man in God's decree, that man could look at that decree of God and see how that decree came to pass, and he could say, according to God's decree and God's providence, this opportunity has arisen. Now, how should he respond? And then he must take all the principles of Scripture and also apply them. Because what if that job required him to work on the Lord's day? The job which he was offered, and that job was not a work of necessity, how should he respond? Must he say, well, obviously God decreed that I would get this opportunity, therefore I must take that job? That's not the way to respond. Because we must not separate God's will of decree from His will of command. What is His will of command? We take all the principles of Scripture and we say, how would God have me respond in this particular circumstance? And then the proper response would be to decline that offer and to pray, thy will be done, trusting that God would provide, because he knows God's will of command was that he must keep the Sabbath day holy. Don't separate God's will of decree and his will of command. So the prayer is, when we pray, thy will be done. Help me, O Lord, to respond in every circumstance that thou dost send, as thou wouldst have me to respond. Now that might be a difficult decision to make for such a man, but we face that kind of circumstance, beloved, in all of our lives. Our sinful flesh wants to focus on the things here below. Our sinful flesh wants to have comfort and ease. But when the Spirit of Christ gives us new hearts, He also leads us by His grace to choose the way of submission to His will. And there's that constant battle between the spirit and the flesh that Galatians talks about. And when we see that battle, beloved, we understand that we have not reached the proper submission to God's will that we ought to reach, that we desire to reach. We will not have properly submitted ourselves to God's will until we renounce our own will. And without murmuring, obey God's will, which is only good. That's the way the Catechism explains the petition. That's not saying, of course, that we stop having a will altogether. The Catechism is not saying that we utterly ignore any and all desires, especially those desires that the Spirit works in our hearts. We may still express godly desires in our prayers, as the Apostle Paul did. His desire that he would be given a prosperous journey to Rome. He expressed his desire. His desire that God would remove his thorn in the flesh.
That's good and proper to express those desires. Lord, Thou knowest the thorn in the flesh that troubles me day by day. I would like to have this thorn removed. Lord, work in the hearts of my children so that they would walk in Thy ways. Lord, if it be possible, provide a job. If it be possible, give healing. We express our desires. Jesus did that in the garden, although His desire, of course, was perfect and without sin. He expressed the desire of His heart when He prayed, "If Thou be willing, remove this cup from me." But if we have renounced our own wills, we will also say from the heart, "And yet, not my will, but Thine be done." Jesus Himself expressed His desire to be spared from suffering, but only if it be possible. Only if it fits in Thy all-encompassing purpose to save Thy people and to bring glory for Thyself. God would have us renounce our own wills, especially the wills of our sinful natures. Our old man, beloved, is never going to improve or begin to seek God's will. Our old man wants everything to be my way. And so our old man says, "Not Thy will, but my will be done." And every time we follow our own wills to the exclusion of God's will, we sin against God and we bring grief upon ourselves. But God's will, beloved, is only good. And so we pray, "Not my will, but Thine be done." That's the petition, beloved, that our flesh doesn't want to pray. That's a petition that our flesh will not pray. But according to the principle of new life planted in us by Christ, we pray, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Because according to that new life, beloved, we want to do God's will the same way that God's will is done in heaven. The same way that the angels in heaven do God's will. That's the way we want to do God's will, according to that life that Christ has planted in us. Children, do you know how the angels do God's will in heaven? Do you know how those angels respond when God calls one of them to do His will? They don't say, "Why don't you get someone else to do it? I'm always the one that gets called on." That's not the way the angels respond to God's will. They don't try to hide when there is a job to do. Not at all. When God calls upon them to do His will, they willingly and faithfully do that will. Willingly means that the angels want to do God's will. God doesn't have to force them to do it. He doesn't have to threaten them to do His will. They willingly do His will. They do God's will without complaint. Not simply because they have to. They want to. They do God's will sincerely. They do God's will fervently. With strongest affections. In love for their God. They do it willingly and they do God's will faithfully. There's never a time that they reject God's will. They do it regularly. That is, every time God sends them to do something, they do it. They do God's will readily and swiftly. Constantly. And beloved, as soon as we see that standard as it is in heaven concerning God's will, then we say, who is able to do God's will that way? How can we even pray, thy will be done? What if, beloved, God wills that you and I suffer? What if what God requires of you and of me requires and means that we will face affliction and trial? What if His will means great upheaval? Are we able to pray, thy will be done in that circumstance? And then we see, beloved, our weakness. How difficult to pray. How impossible to pray, thy will be done. Unless God teach us by His Spirit. Unless we have that life within us already, and unless He also gives us grace. We mourn our failures. We seek forgiveness in Jesus Christ. Then we pray, because of that life within us, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Amen. The Father which art in heaven, may thy name be glorified. May thy kingdom come, and may thy will be done. Thy will of decree and thy will of command. Cause them, O Lord, to serve the glory of thy name. Forgive us where we have fallen short, and grant to us, we pray, thy grace. In Jesus' name, amen.